Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, Steph Curry speaks here from the Finals MVP for the first time since his shoulder injury. And Ja Morant, he went off last night. What message did the Grizzlies superstar send in Memphis's rout of the Bucks? Big Perk has a big take on that one. Plus, Joel Embiid, he leads the league in scoring, but we're going to take you on the court to show you exactly what makes him so unstoppable. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. Happy Friday. I'm Malika Andrews, joined by Richard Jefferson, Becky Hammon, Brian Windhorst. Danny Green is going to be with us in just a little bit. We're so excited.
EG.
But, friends, Steph Curry, he spoke this morning for the first time since his shoulder injury. So just to refresh you all, Curry suffered a shoulder injury during Wednesday's loss to the Pacers. And senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski, he reported that Curry is expected to miss a few weeks. And an MRI on Thursday, it confirmed that Steph experienced a shoulder subluxation, which will not require an in-season surgery. So here is Curry speaking with reporters earlier today.
Oh, 100%. That changed the whole dynamic of the conversation personally and as a team. Stay positive and understand I'll be back sooner than later, hopefully. And hopefully I won't miss a beat in terms of how I feel the rest of my body or my game, how I've been playing.
I hope we're going to assess where your pain level's at right now, kind of like day to day.
It's honestly not as bad as I thought based on how it felt initially, but they say it can linger kind of where you're at for a while. Just, again, it's one of those things where you're happy about the kind of the outcome of, you know, what the injury exactly is and the window of how long it usually takes for something like this to kind of get to a pain-free zone. And then from there, it's just staying patient with the process of getting back on the court and understand my body's in good shape. I feel like I can maintain that for the most part while you're injured and then get back out there and hoop. So it was just a matter of making sure I didn't need surgery and that I could, you know, my shoulder be able to heal on its own, however long that took, because I know the surgeries are like 4 to 6 months, and that's, nobody wants to be dealing with that right now.
I feel like it's fair to say that Steph seems a little bit relieved that at least he doesn't need to have shoulder surgery, but what's your reaction to both the diagnosis and his comments, Rich?
Well, one, I'm glad that he doesn't have to have surgery. I'm sad we're going to miss him on Christmas Day, but when he talked about it lingering, that's the part that, like, you understand. It's like, you know, you jam a thumb, it might be healed, but every time it hits, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt for a little bit. So as basketball players, when you go to, like, elevate and someone were to smack that ball down, a lot of times a part that goes is your shoulder. So that's where it's like, as much as he shoots, as much as his activity, he's going to be, I wouldn't say somewhat dealing with this for a long time. It's his left shoulder. I believe he'll be able to shoot. But every time someone goes to smack down as he's going up or any of those motions, that's where it starts to twinge. That's where he starts to be like, and then it's just going to be a pain management thing, even when he does become healthy.
You mentioned it, though. It's not his shooting arm. But how does this affect a player like Steph, even if it's not, Becky?
Well, it's still a part of your motion.
Right.
Your shoulder still has to be able to come up somewhat. Now, he is, I think, we talk about a shooting. He's one of the craftiest players ever to walk on the basketball court. So I think he'll find ways. His presence, as soon as they can get him out there with minimal pain, I think you put him out there because he opens up everything else for everybody else. But when you're talking about the greatest shooter ever, maybe you take your time understanding big picture. So they could go about it a couple ways. But I think he'll be fine. If there's one thing that I think is true here, these workers, these maniacal workers, they will work diligently with their rehab, and he will be out there as soon as possible.
Yeah, something else he said was he, even though it's his off arm, as you mentioned, he doesn't think that'll make the return any faster. He thinks that it'll still be a process, that's not an advantage, although obviously the one arm is a little bit more valuable than the other.
Right. Yeah. Let's bring Big Perk into the conversation. We just heard Perk from Steph saying that at least he's not going to have surgery. He's focusing on that silver lining, but it doesn't make it any easier. What do you think of his comments?
Well, I mean, I dealt with the same injury. I had the same injury in 2008 in the NBA Finals, and I mean, it's going to linger, and eventually I end up having to have surgery because I tried to go into the following season, you know, just thinking that, you know, I was going to rehab it and get it back stronger, and it just kept bothering me. And so this is a concern, and if I'm the Warriors, I don't rush Steph back at no point. I mean, no matter how rough it gets, and I don't want the Warrior fans to think that I'm just hating and I don't want them to succeed. That's not true. That's not it. I'm talking about the health of their superstar. So if I'm the Warriors, I wouldn't rush him back to this injury because it could actually get worse, to be honest with you, if you don't strengthen it up and be close to 100% when you return.
But as someone who's experienced that injury, Perk, that's such a unique perspective. What was the hardest part for you? Obviously a vastly different player than Steph Curry, but what was the hardest part?
Well, I mean, for me, it was just more so about, you know, being in the paint, being physical, right? You know, the physical contact of being a big man. Now, you know, obviously Steph is out there on the perimeter, but he also is getting banged up a lot. Guys are physical with him, and, you know, he drives to the bucket. You know, he takes hard foul. He hits the ground a lot. He gets tugged on a lot, things to that nature. So that was the most difficult part for us with me. It's still a physical game. No matter how much the old heads try to call the game soft, it's still physicality.
Well, and I imagine on the other side of the ball too, Becky, we talk about Steph and his shooting all the time, but the Warriors even said they feel like he's an underrated defender. Do you see it affecting him on that side of the floor?
Well, they can't get much worse, right?
On the road.
They can't get much worse. If you want to focus on something other than Steph's injury, get your identity back on the defensive end of the ball. And then maybe you get a chance to be in these games on the road. If you can play some defense, you know you're missing 20 points, 30 points out of the lineup. Make up for it on the defensive end, and maybe that can help turn the tables a little. That's their only chance as far as I see it right now.
And to your point, I mean, there's so much more to get into on the Warriors to unpack with Golden State, and we're going to do so later in the show, including a live report from Philadelphia where the Warriors are in action tonight. By the way, no Draymond Green in that game as well. But there are some other comments that we do want to get to from this morning. Brittany Griner released a statement for the first time via Instagram, sharing images of her returning to the United States, hugging her wife Sherelle there in that photo that you can see. And her statement read in part, "It feels so good to be home. The last 10 months, they have been a battle at every turn. I dug deep to keep my faith, and it was love from so many of you that helped keep me going. From the bottom of my heart, thank you to everyone for your help." And she added, "President Biden, you brought me home, and I know you're committed to bringing Paul Whelan and all Americans home too. I will use my platform to do whatever I can to help you. I also encourage everyone that played a part in bringing me home to continue their efforts to bring all Americans home. Every family deserves to be whole." And she ended her statement by saying, "I also want to make one thing very clear. I intend to play basketball for the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury this season, and in doing so, I look forward to being able to say thank you to all of those who advocated, wrote, and posted for me in person soon. Love always, BG42. There is so much to love about that statement. Griner saying that she intends to play in the WNBA this upcoming season. Becky, for the W, for this just to be, how big is it to have her back on the floor here?
Well, her presence was missed on every turn last year. So I'm excited that she's back here. She's excited about playing basketball. And I think one thing, you know, her faith got her through these rough times, these last 10 months. And I think that's if there's one thing that connects us, it's our humanity. And God is in everybody. And, you know, for her to feel that love, because I don't think she had any idea how many people were pulling for her, how many people were praying for her, how many people were loving on her from afar. But she felt it. And those are, like, supernatural things that I think are so special in the human experience that, yes, we're excited to have BG back. No, I am not excited to game plan against
her. She's coming for your title, Coach.
But I know, and she's going to give us a heartaches and battles and stuff, but her presence on the floor, her as a person, the human story to this, we're super excited to have her back.
Well, the thing for me, and I thought, as difficult as this time is, you want to look at people that you believe have your support, and then you see that you have their support. So it was like all the NBA players, all of the WNBA, all of the athletes. They were literally athletes from every sport that play internationally. I know a ton of volleyball players living in Hermosa Beach that go and play in Russia. They'll go and play in Slovenia. They'll go play all over. And you understand the vulnerability of leaving your family, leaving your close loved ones, and then to go through this process. And so to see that she got the support and she's enjoying the support and she recognizes that literally there is large portions of this entire country that wanted her back as soon as possible, and Joe Biden did that. And so thank you. And to her point, we want all of the Americans home with their families. That is a very, very important point in her message.
That's all I wanted to add to it was Paul Whelan. She's going to be his greatest advocate. Mm-hmm. She's already said his name multiple times. Her wife was out saying his name, and I think that's the one thing. The athletic community, the basketball community, did not let her name be forgotten. Mm-hmm. And I think that played a huge part in bringing her home.
I think it's remarkable that she is already committed to playing, I mean, after what she's been through. And so now she's going to get to go around the country. Mm. And the outpouring that we're expecting to see should be very, very special. And to me, obviously she's got a lot to take care of, but the fact that she's already talking about basketball makes me think that she's already healing. And so that was good to see.
I can't stop smiling. It's just so good to see. It's so good to hear from her. And once again, Brittany Griner announcing that she will be playing in the WNBA for the Mercury this upcoming season. Can't wait to watch that. Still to come here on NBA Today, we're going to get into some more basketball. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies had a statement win over the Bucks, and we have a Grizzly here in studio with a message straight from Memphis. Oh, is that the wave? Plus, more on Steph Curry and how his teammates can stay afloat without him. A live report from Philadelphia, where the Dubs test stand Steph, that begins tonight. And we have the results of our very first NBA MVP straw poll of the season. So who are the voters saying is the MVP front runner?
Oh, we're going to listen to Perk's list again.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're watching NBA Today.
Hey. All right. So if the Grizzlies can do it, can we do it? Boom. Hit him a little bit of this.
That's all I got. Boom. Oh, look at that. That's the best game.
So that means that
Brian Windhorst got
in the studio with us. Brian Windhorst making sure the music is taken care of.
We got Danny Green in the building.
Danny, fresh off the plane from Memphis. Yeah. I mean, if that dance was any premonition as to what was going to happen last night in Memphis, and y'all got to do it before every game because, oh boy, let's take you to Memphis now and show you what went down. That's aggressive.
That's
Memphis
a good old
balls. Memphis. Ja Morant, he went hard, Danny.
No, it was ridiculous watching this game. Like, we tuned it on. We were all texting. The whole NBA Today family was texting like, this isn't the real score. Is somebody sitting out? What is the blitz that went on? It was ridiculous.
No Drew Holiday, but still, I mean, Dylan Brooks letting
no
the
Desmond Bane. No Danny Green.
No Danny Green.
Don't tell me about who's not there.
Ja Morant, he was there and he showed up, Rich.
No, like, MVP conversations are probably going to continue for this young man. All NBA conversations. Woo. We already know that's who he is. That was a foul. You were right, Ja. Look at that score.
The Bucks outscored 44-16 in the paint in the first half. By the way, Giannis was playing in this game.
And Lopez.
Go ahead to the third quarter here. Watch this. In 3 seconds flat, Ja Morant coast to coast. Even Chris Middleton was like, bro, I don't know what we can do about this one. Ja just doing Ja things.
He should have just 360 that bad boy. Just take the contact, kept going.
A young Richard Jefferson move, huh?
Young, like early 2000s, late 90s.
Once again, Ja with the alley-oop.
Look at that score.
We don't.
That's a good old fashioned, and we're not talking about the drink. People.
And then you know it's a blowout when the bench is hitting the wave. Morant, 25-point triple-double in 26 minutes. Final score, 142-101. So I mentioned it. Ja Morant, he put up numbers in a hurry last night. He needed just 25 minutes in 39 seconds. Is the only one player has had a 25-point triple-double faster since minutes were first tracked, and that was back when you were born, Rich, in 1951. That was a statement win from the Grizzlies last night.
Shots fired.
It's nonstop, honestly.
He deserves it. Danny, what message did your team and Ja send last night?
I mean, they were shorthanded. We were, too, a little bit, but it's the regular season, so it's not that big of a message. We know night in, night out, anything can happen. They didn't make a lot of shots. We were locked in. I'm not going to say they played very well. The guys were locked in for 48 minutes, and by the third quarter you could see it was over. But once we took, take Giannis out, but Chris Middleton can get a rhythm, Giannis can get a rhythm, and if you don't have no Drew, it hurts them a lot. So it happened fast. It happened really fast, and I didn't know. I didn't realize the score until the third quarter. I'm like, it's only the third quarter. But we were balling. We were playing well. Ty was hitting shots. Everybody's hitting shots. Everybody stepped up and played well. David Roddy, as you see right there, getting to the rim. Everybody pitched in, and obviously Ja with the 25 triple-double within 25 minutes. Unbelievable. He's explosive.
Danny. Now, we know it's a regular season.
Yeah.
No, no one up here is trying to say.
Complete bet move right there.
No chalkboard.
We know you played for the team. We know you're fresh off the plane.
I was critical of Boston on how they played on their West Coast trip, and yes. I'm going to be critical of Milwaukee currently right now, but for this reason. Yes, it is just a regular season game. Mm-hmm. But you guys and the Memphis Grizzlies have championship aspirations. So there's only going to be two times you could possibly see a Milwaukee, a Boston.
For sure.
So those are things that this is a potential team. That had to be a confidence boost to say, like, hey, they won the championship 2 years ago. That's our goal. We can go and take out this team.
Definitely. We've had a homestand. We played some fairly good teams. But these are the teams that you look forward to. You know, these are the tests. These are the challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, we only see them, we said, twice within the year. But we also take it with a grain of salt. They've had a rough stretch as well. You know, teams have rough stretches. They just lost to Houston on the road a couple games ago. And now they came into our building. They couldn't find a rhythm. So you don't want to take too much of it. But this is a good test. We love these type of games. And we're going to continue to see, like, against teams like this, Milwaukee, Phoenix, coming up next, Golden State, even though Steph will be hurt and he won't be there for Christmas, but those are the type of games you get up for and see guys doing the wave. These are the type of games that you look forward to and see where you stand as a group.
No Desmond Bane in this one, but Brian, when we're looking at the West, we've spent so much time talking about how close it is, how close the standings are. Are the Grizzlies, just plug your ears for 1 second, Danny, the most complete team in the West?
So the thing about you look about the Grizzlies, what you really like is that they're performing at a very high level and they've got upward mobility. Because they don't have their whole team. Desmond Bane isn't playing. Jaren Jackson just came back. He's been killing it. He's been awesome these 12 games. But the reason they have upward mobility is they have extra draft picks and they have tradable pieces, which this is awkward. Sorry to say this, Danny, but
he's right here.
He has an expiring contract. I'm not sure where your knee is. I'll ask you in a second. But one of the people that people are talking about is if the Grizzlies want to upgrade, will they call about Danny Green and a draft pick? And that's one of the things, that, you know, but here's the thing. The Grizzlies have drafted so well that they're reluctant to give up their picks. And the Grizzlies have wanted veteran leaders He has three rings. So, I mean, that wouldn't be simple, but I do think that you will hear your name, I'm sorry to say, in some trade discussions.
I'm not shocked. At this point in my career, I hear my name quite often. but it's a blessing. You know, I think I'm in a good space. I'm getting closer to returning to court soon. You know, but we still have a little bit of time. But so we have a good group, man. I'm excited about it. I'm happy for them. They do have some good draft picks. They have drafted well with Zaire Williams, David Roddy, Jake LaRavia. Those are some good pieces. I could see those guys growing into something special. So we'll see what the direction they go into. But I think they're very comfortable where they're at now. And hopefully Dez will be back in a couple weeks. We'll see if he's there for that Christmas game. And I think they want to see how we are with our team whole.
Becky, as a coach, when you're watching this sort of trouncing, what goes through your mind?
Well, a couple things. In Memphis, no matter who the coach is, what's in the water down there?
Yeah.
Like, it's from when they had Zach and that, like, they're just tough.
Yeah, lost to them. We remember that was great. That was a great year. 61 wins.
So we're playing together.
Bad memory.
That was great. So we're teammates.
Yeah. I mean, so they're tough. I think. There is some, I think you both have valid points. You only meet two times a year. It is a regular season game. Like, there's some games in the NBA, in an 82 game show, you just don't have it.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't have it. It's not going to happen. It's one of those feel things as a coach. You're just like, all right.
Yeah.
Let's just get out of here. Let's get everybody out and move on to the next one. I would be surprised if Milwaukee has a lot of film on this. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you will get to it, but I just felt like it was, not to take anything away from Memphis, it was one of those nights where Milwaukee was just, they didn't have it.
I agree.
The thing about it, and you're right, there's five or six games that no matter what, you're going to win that game. Everyone's going to make shots. It's going to be good. And there's going to be five or six games where everyone's in foul trouble, people are banged up, you're not going to win.
Right.
The part that I think sucks is that you know that Milwaukee was ready. They played poorly against Houston. They know who these boys are in Memphis. So they went out there, and that's the part that sucks. You want to play your best when your best is needed, and it just happened to be one of those days. But it's a tough one to take.
Sometimes you have no control over that.
Sometimes you
want to play
no
your best, and then you might have your worst. So the combination of us playing really well and them playing really bad was the outcome of that score.
But, Danny, do you know this? When we talk about the Memphis Grizzlies in this studio, I am contractually obligated to bring in someone very, very special. It's a big performance when Kendrick Perkins jumps on Twitter. Ja Morant, that's the damn tweet. And then Ja took notice and replied, just trying to make everybody perk. That's all. On that big Memphis, something I can't say on TV, perk. Come on in, baby, the unofficial president of the dark side. The Grizzlies, are they the best team in the West right now?
You know what we're not about to do on this Friday, right? We're not about to downplay what Memphis did to the Milwaukee Bucks and say, oh, they just played bad. It was one of those nights. No, actually, they just snatched their souls. They was ready for the moment. And when you think about Ja Morant, Ja Morant has told us plenty of times that, hey, I want to be the best. I think I'm him. I know I'm him. Matter of fact, he references himself as him. And so when you have Giannis, who we all could probably agree is the best player in the world, coming into your house, you don't think Ja had it on his mind personally? You didn't think Ja wanted to be the man on that floor? You don't think he was the man on that floor? Now, let's talk about Memphis overall. When it comes down to this team has the chance to get out of the Western Conference. I thought they would have beat Golden State last year if Ja wouldn't have got hurt. Jaren Jackson Jr., looking like a defensive player of the year runner-up, had eight blocks two nights ago, anchoring the defense. Big Steven Adams down there handling the load. He was handling his business against Giannis and Brooke Lopez. And then we go down to Desmond Baines not being available. And then Dylan Brooks becoming that two-way player again. Hey, I'm looking at this squad, and I'm like, man, they ready for whatever. And Danny, you better hurry up and get back. If you try to get any minutes on this roster, you better hurry up and get ready, boy, because by the time you get back, you're going to still be dressing up in them suits. I'm telling you, because this team ain't playing. They ain't
you
playing.
You see what everybody I'm supposed to on a daily basis?
I'm catching strays everywhere.
That's
man.
What you
it's all good. I understand it.
I mean,
you're absolutely right. We have a deep team. They're very good. And if I don't get back on the court and get my rhythm.
But they're young.
No, yeah.
They're really, really, really good. Mm. But they're young, Danny. Mm-hmm. That's one thing is that if they're going to do anything, they do need to have experience on
absolutely
roster.
Well, so. Just like we needed experience in studio when we were dancing in this morning. we needed just a little someone to tell us when to go, you know, right, left, left, right, left. Let's play it back one more time.
Let's not
All right, where's Park when we need
it? Little show shimmy. Come on. Yeah, see, when one starts going, the other has to join the party. That's how it works.
NBA Today. We'll be right back.
Okay.
No.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Earlier today in Philadelphia, Steph Curry, he spoke for the first time after suffering a left shoulder subluxation. Curry said that he was relieved when surgery was taken off of the table. He also addressed the Warriors' road struggles and why now is the time to turn it around.
How important do you view this stretch without you, just to kind of determine where the season's going?
We're still in a sense of urgency even up until, you know, the Indiana game, just trying to right the ship and figure out what it takes as a team to get to where we want to be on a consistent basis. Like, we've shown we can be the best teams in the league. We've shown we can be beat on any given night. So it's just a matter of, you know, other guys stepping up. Every team goes through this at some point throughout the year. It's a very important stretch just because you want to maintain as much positivity and kind of belief in what we're doing as possible. Looking at, you know, that All-Star break, kind of, you know, that sprint to the finish line, knowing that no team in the West has really separated themselves. So, you know, we can talk ourselves into we're still in good shape, but you then got to go out and, you know, be a consistent basketball team. I think we can do that.
Do you view it almost as like a number, like, hey, like, stay at 500 by the time I get back type thing?
I mean, that's always kind of a good soundbite just because it gives you something to key on, but I think where we're at, we just want to win a road game and kind of take it from there.
Take a look at the Warriors' next 10 games. They're still on the road for the next four. That includes tonight in Philadelphia on ESPN. But starting on Christmas, they begin an 8-game homestand. Remember, they are 12-2 at home. So back here with Richard, Brian, Becky, and Danny Green. Danny, when you look at this team with and without Steph Curry, what are the realistic expectations for them now that he's not going to be in the lineup for a bit?
I mean, they still have some very good players in that roster. I know Draymond is out for the next game, but my person I've been watching is Wiggs. Wiggs has been killing all year, but he's a big part of their defensive staple. If you have Draymond and Wiggs on the court to be healthy for during this stretch, it'll help them a ton. Because offensively, they still have some firepower. You know, you have Jordan Poole, you still have Clay and Wiggins. So they have enough. And just defensively, I think that's where they need to, you know, figure it out. But I think they could still stay afloat and above water. It depends on how healthy the other guys stay.
Right, and Andrew Wiggins has not been healthy recently, Brian.
Yeah, he's had an adductor injury, and also Klay Thompson is questionable tonight. As a side note, Philly better take care of business in this one. But I will say this, you know, typically the Warriors are a team that has a big margin for error. Because of their firepower on offense, they can get away with bad games. And had they played better earlier this season, losing Steph, even if it was for a month, wouldn't be so dangerous. Where you're looking at what's going to happen in the standings, they've got to find a way to get some wins. They really need to figure out a way to peel a win or two out of this road trip, and then they got to dominate that homestand. They, like, if I was the Los Angeles Lakers, I'd be like, look at this. We might be able to pass the Warriors the way we're playing the next 7 to 10 days. So, like, this is really simple, basic analysis. They need to get a couple of wins just to get in their mind that they can win without Steph, and then, you know, not lose too much ground in the standings because they can't afford it.
Maybe the steam will start picking up there. For more on Steph and the Warriors, I do want to bring in our person on the ground, Tim Bontemps. He's in Philadelphia right now. Tim, you were in the room where it happened. You were listening to Steph. What is his mindset as he prepares to watch this team from the sidelines for the next few weeks? That's according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
Well, Malika, the first thing that was on Steph's mind was relief. Relief that he didn't have to have surgeries. He put it, a surgery timeline would be 4 to 6 months, and no one wants to be dealing with that, most of all, Stephen Curry. So I think he was thrilled with the prospect of getting back in a few weeks from this left shoulder injury. And the other thing I thought that was interesting, Malika, was what Brian was just talking about. Steph focused it on the fact this team has to start playing more consistent basketball right now. He said at one point, look, we can keep saying we're in a good position because nobody's separated in the Western Conference. We have to start putting wins together. And even joked, as you heard in that clip earlier, we have to just get a road win. I mean, this team is 2-13 on the road. So even though they're not going to have Steph for a while, and they've been so much better with him on the court than off this season, I think they look at these next few weeks as an opportunity to try to get some kind of consistent play without him so that when they get him back, they can kind of make the push they're going to have to, because as Brian pointed out, even if he comes back in a month, they're going to be looking up a lot of teams in the standings, and they're going to have a lot of work to make up if they want to get to where they want to be in playoff position to try to defend their championship in a few months.
Yeah, 12-2 at home, 2-13 on the road. It's just a wild home road split. But Tim, while we have you, today is your first MVP straw poll that was released. And I got to tell you, the excitement on Brian's face all week, it's like he has been waiting for this. Can you just give the viewer a little bit of background?
He loves the straw poll.
Yes, he loves the straw poll. First, can you tell us what exactly it is and what the first edition tells you?
So the straw poll, Malika, tries to mimic what the end of season voting poll is going to look like. So I ask 100 people, both internationally, nationally, and from all 28 NBA media markets to try to get a sense of where the race stands today. And as you guys have seen, as people have seen today, Jason Tatum is leading Giannis Antetokounmpo in this first round of balloting. But while Jason Tatum is leading, I don't think people should look at that as him being a runaway favorite to win the award this year. Let's just go back a year ago. Stephen Curry at this point had 94 of 100 first place votes and was a runaway favorite to win MVP at that point. He finished, you know, well down the standings by the end of the year. Nikola Jokic went on to win the award. 2 years ago, LeBron was in first place. He didn't obviously go on to win the award. Nikola Jokic won it that year, too. And when you look at the stand with the race at the top, Jason Tatum had the second closest lead over second place in any of the 11 polls I've done over the past 7 years. So to me, I look at this as a situation where the Celtics have the best offense in the league. They have the best record in the league. And Jason Tatum has played great. And he still has a slim lead over a deep field. So I'm not ruling out his chances of winning, obviously. He's got a great chance to win. But with the way this played out so far, I do not think it's, oh, it's Jason Tatum's race to lose. I think this thing is very wide open based off of how the first one played out.
I got to tell you, Tim, as big as Brian has been smiling all week, somewhere Kendrick Perkins is just all pearly whites with Jason Tatum leading this first straw poll. Tim Bontemps, thank you so much. Enjoy the game in Philadelphia. There's Perk. What's happening, my friend? Coming up on NBA Today, the Clippers chemistry. Questions, they continue. And Ty Lue had some very strong words about the consequences of player rest. How long until the frustrations start to boil over? NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're watching NBA Today.
So, Richard, the Clippers, they were hosting the Suns last night.
Hey, I got you. Paul George out. Kawhi Leonard out. Reggie Jackson out. Luke Kennard out. Norman Powell out. Zubac out. Danny Green still out. Oh, yes. Yeah. So just to give you a little heads up on what we're working with over here, people.
Chris Paul, he was putting in some work, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's playing against a G League team.
Okay, shots fired.
Oh, well, your top eight
the
players are
Suns
out.
The Suns would lead by as many as 31 points.
You know who didn't miss? Mikal Bridges, because he doesn't miss games.
He had a game-high 27 points. Suns win. Terrence Mann, who did play, spoke after the game.
Terrence, you're not.
I was definitely real frustrated when we had a good thing going, had a nice little rhythm, figuring stuff out again. About to start a nice little win streak, I thought. And, you know, this happens, but you just got to figure it out from here now.
How many games do you need together?
Oh, man.
Number to get?
Let's try 15 games together, whole as a team. Let's see if we can do that. I'm done. Thank you, man.
Consecutively or just total?
Consecutive games in a row. 15, man. Not two, not three.
Not two, not three, 15. Here's the deal, though. The Clippers, they've only had four games where Kawhi, Paul George, Norm Powell, their top three scorers, all played. They're 3-1 in those games. Keep this in mind, though. Our colleague Om Young Masuki reported that the Clippers are cautiously optimistic that Kawhi, PG, Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, they're all going to be back in the lineup. But there's clearly some frustration here. I feel it. Do you agree with how the Clippers are handling this, Rich?
No, look, I get it. There's a difference between being injured and hurt. We have covered that. If there is a person that is coming off a major surgery, the concern comes from the surgery was 18 months ago, and if you're still not being able to rev yourself back up. I believe in conditioning yourself for a marathon, right? Condition yourself to run all 26 miles. I don't know if that's how long it is. But when you watch the Clippers and you see a lack of continuity, you see a lack of consistency, you don't see any sort of vibe. And even when you have your own role players, because it's the most important to the role players, right? The most important. Like, come on, Becky, jump in here. I'm over here paddling by myself, you know? Tell me how
paddle.
You feel from a coach's standpoint.
Well, I can tell you from a coach's standpoint that it's very frustrating to think you have something coming into a season and then you end up with bits and pieces here, there. It's a jigsaw puzzle that you're constantly jumping through hoops to try to make it work. And you saw Coach Lou there, 15 games whole. And what happens is the load up also loads up on your other players.
Yeah.
Somebody has to pull this weight. And I think they got to get back to buy-in, start loading up on some W's with a full roster, playing, wanting to be there, and really buying in. They're going nowhere unless they have buy-in. Nowhere.
Brian?
I got three professional athletes up here. I am clearly not a professional athlete. One of them is dealing with the recovering knee injury right now. I don't think Kawhi looks very good. He had a good game on Monday. I was watching him in the building on Wednesday. He is not moving well, in my opinion. He has had a couple of okay games. His stats and his shooting particularly don't look good. I'm not a physical therapist. I didn't have a knee surgery. I can't say, well, the answer is then to play on it. I'm just telling you, when he's taking these games off and resting, I kind of get it because he doesn't look good. To me, if I were the Clippers, I'd be like, what are we going to do as an organization to get Kawhi by March to look like the Kawhi they've always wanted? And they're going to have to bite the bullet. If the answer is resting him, they're going to have to bite the bullet on these nights. I'm not saying that I have the right answer. I'm just saying I'm a little bit worried about where Kawhi is.
So this is the fourth season, you know, with Kawhi. And look, when you're talking about the Clipper organization, they are locked into him for $45, $50 million for a few more years. So when I look at that and you're wondering why she just gave me a note that said, bring Perk in. Can Perk, you want to come in here and talk about this, Perk? Don't give me. Hey, hi, Perk. How you doing?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay, so.
And I actually want to talk about it. I want to talk about the whole load management or whatever the case may be. And I get it for Kawhi Leonard, right? If we say he don't look right and he don't look right, he's not moving well, I get that part. But to sit Reggie Jackson, to sit Paul George, to sit Zubac, Kennard, and Norman Powell. Like, it's starting to get a little disrespectful to the fan base, and it's starting to really, like, disturb me, like, be disturbing in a way. Because, like, when are we just going to hoop? Like, when is guys going to be available? And, like, it's coming to the point now where it's like, we already see teams issue, the NBA issuing out fines to teams because of the report wasn't sent in. So it goes back to the CBA again. Like, the owners, right? Like, what are they going to be thinking? Like, we can't keep allowing this. Like, they had guys way before us that, like, you know, you think about Kobe and you think about Kevin Garnett, you think about Tim Duncan, you think about all those players that paved the way for not only guys to, like, kept the standard high, but to be getting paid top dollar. Like, you know, we talking about $40 to $50 million a year. And I feel like these guys that are playing now also have the same obligation to the next generation to be available to play so that they won't mess it up for everybody else.
I'll just say this. You know, Brian just talked about he doesn't look like himself. You're coming off an ACL injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to play through some hiccups. You're not just going to come out and be MVP Kawhi right away. And I think it's going to be the balancing act between their sports science team, their conditioning team, of getting him back, getting him healthy. But if you think it's just going to come that easy,
no,
it's not going to be easy. These guys are real conscious of their numbers, but he just signed, right?
Yeah.
So screw the numbers. Get out there as best you can and understand there's going to be some bumps along the way. You got to get your rhythm back, and the only way to do that is to play basketball.
Well, let's talk about someone who's been balling, because coming up next on NBA Today, Becky, Richard, and Danny, they're going to take the court to show us Joel Embiid's effectiveness as the Sixers roll on. We will roll on right after this.
Big boy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ball's moving, the floor's wide open. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Work is done. That's how you let your hair down.
So we have seven players this season averaging 30 points or more. That's led by Joel Embiid, who's putting up over 33 a game. He also led the league in scoring last season. So, Richard, how does he do this so well?
Well, that's funny you should ask me, because we have one of his former teammates, one of his former floor spacers, if you will, Danny Green, three-time champion. Let's give it up for Danny, everybody. Woo! Let's give it up. Okay, that was a terrible applause. Okay, so we were talking. Joel Embiid is one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem in the NBA. So I asked Danny, I'm like, Danny, where does he like to catch the ball? Where do you think, if you were drawing up a play, and you said where, and tell me why?
Left elbow. I think he has his most space, can see the floor the best, and see where the double team is coming from.
Okay, so strong side. Where would you want to be as a shooter?
As a shooter, I'm trying to be in the corners, because that's where if the double comes from, that's where the shots will come.
Okay.
They double from the corner, which you're taught not to leave.
You're taught not to leave there. So that's where you want to be?
Yeah. But if they do leave, they have to make a decision. If they do leave, strong side corner will be open.
Okay, so?
And if he makes his move and this guy bites, if not, Joel's going to
bite. Oh, no. Bites, Sophie stays
right
there.
Stay in that corner. It's an easy corner three.
Easy corner three. But listen, I was taught by Lute Olson, we do not prepare to beat bad teams here. So you prepare to play against good teams. So a good team is going to do what to him?
They're
going to
probably double from a strong side where they have help, where they have people that can rotate. So if this guy double teams or comes from here, then it's a swing to that corner. That's what happened.
Okay.
But a lot of times it's so much harder to double from this area, and it's so much easier for him to see the floor. And because he's such a more willing passer this year, I think he's starting to understand it opens the floor more for him to be able to get to the rim and get a shot and get to his left-hand pull-up. That type of deal.
Okay, now, Coach, we got the coach here.
I'm putting Danny in that corner.
You're putting Danny in that corner.
If that guy comes off that strong corner, we're going to have a real problem.
We're going to have a real problem.
I need the ding-ding swing to the corner for Danny 3.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you don't want to put a non-shooter in that corner. That's why we got Sophie here. She is a shooter. So you don't want to put a non-shooter there. The real money shot, is that the one? So you're over there daring someone to go double-team.
Ultimately, the guy that's in this corner is giving himself up for the team in space and forward, knowing that trying to not being a decoy, but taking themselves out the play, saying that I'm going to be the guy that's not going to let my guy double team so that Joel has space to operate.
Okay, so this is going to be the last thing. Now, when he's at this elbow, what is his game? What is his game?
I don't want to give up too much of a scouting report, or obviously I'm not his teammate anymore, so I guess I can
yeah, yes, yeah, screw him. Let's go.
A lot of times Joel likes to get to his left-hand dribble and his hesitation pull-up. That's more of his go-to because he's a very good jump shooter, especially from this elbow. But if not, he likes to jab, get to his base, either draw foul or euro step, somehow get to the rim.
Okay.
But most of the time, he's going to like his left-hand dribble pull-up.
Coach, if you were guarding Joel Embiid, where would you want him on the block? Would you want him there? If he was in that spot, how would you send the help and you would just wait on rotation?
Well, first of all, I don't think there's any place you can send Joel that he doesn't want to go.
Back.
So, yeah. Whether he's on that block, obviously you want to limit his touches as best you can. Obviously, bringing in help side, but he's become such a willing passer. He's shooting a career high in field goal percentage. He obviously gets to the free throw line, very good free throw shooter. So he just scores on all three levels. Try to make his looks as difficult as possible. If you're going to give up something, maybe force him that way to that little fade with some help and just hope.
Prayer. There's a lot of prayers.
Hope he misses.
There's a lot of hopes and prayers. So, Malika, we showed you this man scores on all three levels, even his own teammates saying, like, hey, sometimes you just put a shooter in the corner so he can get to work.
Oh, you can see that man tonight in our Friday doubleheader. Joel Embiid takes on the Warriors. Then it's Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. They face LeBron James and the Lakers. I'm on the sideline for that one. NBA Countdown starts it all off at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds.
Lakers playing tonight?
Lakers playing tonight.
Let's go.
How cool is this? After last night's win against the Clippers, Chris Paul caught a cross-country flight to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where he graduated today from Winston-Salem State. And as a part of the ceremony, it was announced that Paul is gifting each graduate $2,500.
That's awesome.
That's really awesome.
He didn't elbow anybody, did he?
Oh, man.
Richard, just leave it.
Oh, we can't make jokes. Oh,
congratulations,
sorry,
Chris. Speaking of graduations, Alyssa Van Durnam, one of the most fabulous producers on our show. It is her last day with us at ESPN. Alyssa, we are going to miss you. Thank you for the work you did on this show. Oh, yeah, Richard, you didn't read that email I sent you?
No, I haven't read. I have an email?
Richard doesn't email you.
Alyssa,
we will miss you. Congratulations. We cannot wait to see what you do next. You are incredible. Richard, I understand.
There's something that I can't. Well, also, I want to say, because we're giving out congratulations to our guy, Greg Fonseca. It's his 44th birthday. It has never looked better.
But
we also have some footage. We also have some footage here that I want to pull, right? Today is a very special day, and so we're going to show this footage. Apparently, Malika, we got this from the Golden State Warriors. This is where we got this, surveillance cam. She brought an entire water bottle in her purse. She brought it apart, and it leaked out everywhere. And then she went, she was, draining out socks. She dumped out her whole bag. Look, she's squeezing out, we have footage of everything. Look, she's rolling to go get the stuff. She empties out her bag. Literally, look at this. She says it's water. I think she just got sweaty feet. Right? I think that's what it is. But yeah, had the whole footage. We saw it. She's like, oh my God, there's water dropping out of my bag. I was like, Malika, that's not how you clear out your bag.
Y'all did me wrong for that.
No.
I trusted you. I thought that I was supposed to stay hydrated, and so I brought a bottle of water. The whole thing dumped out.
The Golden State Warriors are not the only ones with leaks inside their organization.
Oh, and with that, happy Friday, everybody. I see what you did there. Nice catch.
Series flopping.
There's a lot of flopping.
A lot of flopping in that video.
We will see you next week.
Dramatic. Drama.
The worst.
I can't believe they pulled that footage.
I can't believe.